powerful, sharply any two-edged sword. Pierce me to keep dividing the center of the soul and the spirit, the joints and the marrow, is the critic of the thoughts and ends into the heart. All scripture is God-breathed and is profitable for doctrine, reproof, correction, instruction, and righteousness, that the man of God might be mature, thoroughly furnished unto all good works. So you show yourself approved unto God, a workman does not need to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. Classroom of Christianity, this is environment, this academic setting that God has established for believers living in this dispensation. To worship Him in spirit and in truth. His spirit demands the filling ministry of God the Holy Spirit, and as His guiding and directing ministry with respect to understanding the truth of Bible doctrine, which is obviously the word that is in view. So therefore, it's incumbent upon each and every one of us as members of this local church, in regards to understanding and assimilation of the truth of God's plan for our life, to make sure we're in fellowship, and otherwise provide our undivided attention in regards to the study of Bible doctrine once again this morning at hand. So with that in mind, we'll give everybody the opportunity to read down as necessary as we start with our usual customary word of prayer. Father, though every man be a liar, your word stands forever. We ask once again this morning that God, the Holy Spirit, will invite us to these matters at hand. In Jesus' name, amen. All right. Open up the doctrine of peace, which is the doctrine we are trying to wrap up with well this morning. Peace, obviously, is of God. He is a God of peace. He actively pursues peace with mankind through His plan of salvation. How individuals have peace with God is obviously through making the three adjustments, where the salvation adjustment establishes eternal peace, and then the rebound maturity adjustment establishes a phase two peace, that is an inward peace, fulfilling God's requirements is peace terms, if you will, in regards to maintaining peace with Him in time. And as believers having inner peace, we are to pursue ourselves peace with one another and those outside our local church. Obviously, no more than we are allowed to violate God's plan in establishing peace with Him, do we violate God's plan in regards to establishing peace outside of Bible doctrine and others around us. We are not to compromise peace. In fact, when people reject our peace proposition of the truth of Bible doctrine, we are to separate and go on and move into our own sphere of life apart from the socializing that otherwise you would have with harmony and peace with them if they would embrace Bible doctrine. So we are to pursue peace with all men if at all possible. And not is it always possible, and that is due to the fact that as God is the author of peace, Satan, who manipulates and controls the cosmos through the sin nature and negative volition, is the opposite of peace. He is the conflict that obviously provides the very atmosphere of the angelic conflict which we are in the midst of in regards to our lives. And as believers, we are to obviously be aware of pseudo-peace. The peace that God provides is not peace that comes from this world. Pseudo-peace is that which is based on the physical of life, physical accoutrements, relationships, things in its nature. Obviously, when these things deteriorate or something occurs in regards to their destruction or diminishing in this regards, that peace obviously takes off and is no longer around in that respect because it depends on that which is tangible and perishable rather than that which is eternal that comes from God. And in regards to pseudo-peace, we are to understand the time to be oriented to the time in which we live, that in the last days there will be a international campaign peace movement, which is part of the agenda for the Antichrist internationally in this respect. And as far as the peace that the world so desires and cries for in this regards, we understand that true peace, true world peace and national peace for all nations will not exist apart from the return of Jesus Christ, who is absolutely righteous, that will establish in his kingship eternal peace in this regard. And that's what we're dealing with in Roman numeral 8 and finishing up this doctrine, looking at the millennial period of which 1,000 years of peace will literally reign on this planet. Nations will put up their weapons. They will have no weapons. Everything will be geared, if you will, towards the blessing aspects of life in this respect. And Jesus Christ, and this comes about because Jesus Christ rules with an iron rod of righteousness from his seat of jurisdiction in Mount Zion in Jerusalem in this respect. And during this time, even the animal world, the present predator-aggressive carnivorous type animals, even their brain sphere will be changed, and they will be passive and be basically vegetarians after the fact and not be of any danger to us, whether they're the lions, tigers, bears. Okay, so the news is in my mind. Cobras, whatever. All these will change. And it will be an unprecedented time of peace for 1,000 years. And obviously Israel is the spotlight in regards to this as Jesus Christ ruled from there. And just Roman numeral 8, point J, where we left off, Israel will dwell in peace in the land of promise. They will finally get to experience the promise of geography as well as eternal peace with their eternal king in this respect. Israel has yet to enjoy and occupy all the land that God initially had set apart for them, and this due to their own negative volition and STAs. But at this time of history, they will possess all the land, and they will dwell in peace in that state. Isaiah 32. Verses 17 and 18, and the work of righteousness will be peace. See, that's the principle which true peace rests upon and is made possible. And that's God's righteousness, not relative righteousness, but absolute righteousness. In the service of righteousness, quietness and confidence forever. Plus our settles your soul. It provides that inner peace. And one is at harmony in regards to God as well as things around them, people, creation, etc. Then my people will live in a peaceful habitation and in secure dwellings and undisturbed resting places. 755 verse 12. For you will go out with joy and be led forth with peace. The mountains and the hills will break forth and you shall see joy before you. Even inanimate creation is personified as blessing in this regard, denoting essentially the utopian type of weather that we look for in environment and things of this nature that's stimulating to our very senses, our eyes, feelings, things of this nature. And all the trees of the field will clap their hands. Noting that presently the earth is under a curse because of the fall of man in judgment in this respect. But all that will change. Chapter 60, verse 18. Violence will not be heard again in your land, nor devastation or destruction within your borders. So you shall call your walls salvation and your gates praise. Issue 6 and 12. For thus saith the Lord, behold, I extend peace to her like a river. And the glory of the nation is like an overflowing stream. You will be nursed, you will be carried on the hip and fondled on the knees, taken care of as an infant by their parent. Ezekiel 28:26. And they will live, Israel, in the land, in it securely, and they will build houses, plant vineyards, and live securely. And I execute judgments upon all who scorn them round about them, then they will know that I am the Lord your God. So the civil administration of Jesus Christ will be based on the law. People get out of line. There won't be any 10-year litigation process in regards to determining their guilty and deserving of death that eventually don't even get there. He'll deal with it appropriately. And crimes, that, those types of things, be essentially sporadic at best. So, okay, until that time, the millennial period, nations are advised to heed Joel 3:10 as a matter of survival. Until that occurs, we will continue to have wars and rumors of wars, aggressive predator nations, and nations are to not only have an economic skin, but to have military protection for themselves. So, 3:10. Beat your plowshares into swords, and your pruning hooks into spears. Militarily, be ready to defend yourself. Let the weak say, I am a mighty man. All right, Roman numeral 9, concluding observations of the use of peace in Scripture. A, the Lord used such a greeting to his disciples when he appeared to them after his resurrection to settle their troubled hearts. John 20:19-21. Even though they should have been in anticipation of all this, Christ appeared and they freak out. And he emphasizes the aspect of peace in regards to getting a hold of their SCA fear and have peace rather instead. When therefore it was evening on that day, the first day of the week, and when the doors were shut where the disciples were for fear of the Jews, they're under sin fear, they capitulated, they're wrapped up in this, fearing for their own lives, what's going to happen to them. Even though, remember, that news has been already distributed to them, Mary Magdalene has seen Jesus already in resurrection body, she's reported this, and they're still shaking in their boots. Jesus appears, stood in their midst, and said to them, peace be with you. To me, that's humorous as well as ironic, as they're sitting there all in sin fear. Peace. Peace be with you. And when he had said this, he showed them both his hands and his side. The disciples therefore rejoiced when they saw the Lord. B, Jethro, who was Moses' father-in-law, bidding him farewell, demonstrating all was well between them, their plain harmony between one another. Exodus 4:18, so as the term is used in that vein. Then Moses parted, returned to Jethro, his father-in-law, said to him, please let me go that I may return to my brothers who are in Egypt. And seeing they are still alive, and Jethro said to Moses, go in peace. I mean, he has no problem with that. I'm going to fit him one way or the other. See, the term peace is used in a general sense, as in 1 Samuel 25:6. you'll say, have a long life, peace be to you, in a general sense. Relatively undisturbed, unagitated type of existence. And peace be to your house, and peace be to all that you have, denoting God's blessing. So B, it is used to inquire if there is hostile intent. 2 Kings 9:17. Washington in Jerusalem was standing on the tower of Jezreel, and he saw the company of Jehu as he came and said, I see a company. Joram said, take a horseman and send out, meet him, and let him say, is it peace? So, your intentions, what's your intentions in this respect? Jesus used the word in an encouraging and phase one context to the woman who anointed him, Luke 7:50. And he says to the woman, your faith has saved you. Salvation, phase one, go in peace. The eternal peace provide inner peace. In recognition of her own salvation within. F, when the 70, the disciples that were sent out by Christ, stated yes with others, they were to say, peace be to this house. That emphasized, obviously, divine blessing for their application of hospitality. But if the host turned out to be antagonistic to peace, their blessing would come back to them, i.e., peace is determined whether they're positive or they're negative. Simply put, Luke 10, 5 and 6, whatever house you enter, first say, peace be to this house, and if a man of peace is there, your peace will rest upon him, but if not, it will return to you. So G is used by those who intend to deceive you. Hence, why your first priority of peace is your peace between yourself and God, and understanding the peace terms so that you'll know and be discerning that when those try to give you a facade of peace, try to deceive you in that regard. Psalm 55:20-21. He has put forth his hand against those who are at peace with him. He has violated his covenant. His speech was smoother than butter, but his heart was war. His words were softer than oil, yet they were drawn swords. Form of deception, having peaceful intentions on the outside, facade, but simply going to try to waylay the individual otherwise. The term peace is used as a benediction upon Israel and Jerusalem. Statement of blessing or prayer of blessing, Psalm 122:6-8. Pray for the peace of Jerusalem, may they prosper who love you. May peace be within your walls and prosperity within your palaces. For the sake of my brothers and my friends, I will now say, my peace be within you. 1:25:5. It is for those who turn aside to the crooked ways, the Lord will lead them away with the doers of iniquity. Peace be upon Israel. They'll fall into that light, and God will judge those otherwise. 1:28:6. May you see your children's children. Peace be upon Israel. Long life. It is used in salutations and benedictions of epistles to express a legitimate desire on the part of the author for the readers. Essentially, all epistles, we saw that Peter was reviewed that. Romans 1:7, his correlation to grace. But here, for example, Romans 1:7. to all our blood of God in Rome, all the saints, grace to you and peace from God our Father, and Lord Jesus Christ. 1 Corinthians 1:3. Grace to you and peace from God our Father, and Lord Jesus Christ. 1 Timothy 1:2. Who can it be, my trustworthy child? In faith, grace, mercy, and peace. God, the Father, and Christ Jesus, our Lord. So one, this peace comes from God. Two, it is only for those that line up with sound doctrine. Galatians 6:16. And those who will walk by this rule, peace and mercy be upon them, and upon the Israel of God. Philippians 4:9. The things you have learned, received, and heard, and seen him, and you practice these things, and the God of peace will be with you. Closing verse, John 14:27. Peace I leave with you, Christ speaking. My peace I give to you. Not as the world gives, do I give to you. Let not your heart be troubled, nor let it be fearful.